Path to Business, the podcast. We are your hosts, Luke and Bethany Barrett. We're a husband and wife team building a legacy with our three children that we're so damn proud of. Full-time wedding photographer and videographer operating a thriving six-figure business.
We share all our best strategies from the lessons that we've learned along the way.
Featuring other amazing businesses so you can genuinely get inspired.
This is your Path to Business.
Today we're going to be chatting all about questions you can ask a potential wedding videographer, the do's and the don'ts, what you need to know, and hopefully this will help you in making a decision on what kind of videographer you would like to have on your wedding day.
Because choosing the right videographer makes a huge difference, especially if it's a separate company than your photographer. That can be pretty tricky in some instances based on style, how they move around the day, how fast they get through things. Of course, the editing style is a huge one as well.
Other than the main questions like, are you available on our date? And, you know, have you shot at our venue before? One of the first questions you need to ask is, what is this videographer's backup plan on a wedding day? I think that not a lot of people ask this question, and I think that it's important to at least see what their perspective is on what would they do if they couldn't make it on your wedding day, especially if you've hired somebody who's only like a single shooter for the wedding day. I think when it comes to video, I'm more leaning towards always having two because I just know how much work there is in terms of setup and, you know, making sure audio is working, making sure tripod cameras are in focus. There's just so many like moving pieces when it comes to like what a wedding videographer does. What would you say? Is there anything, do you think that that's an important question for people to ask?
I think so, because what we've seen in the last couple of years is through COVID, through all of that stuff, that you can get sick. You can have things come up that will stop you from going to a wedding day. That's why having a solid contract to lay out the expectations is also important. But I think asking that question to see what kind of answer they might have. I know a lot of people could just blanket say, yeah, of course, I'll just send somebody else. But who is that person?
Yeah.
Is it somebody that is just waiting in the wings? Is it somebody that has as much experience as you? Is it somebody that has their own company? How do you find that person? Do you have a team? And in our case, we have a team of people that we rely on to be second shooters, but can also step up and be first shooters on a day if we really needed it.
Yeah, for us, that answer is really our team. Other than that, we do have strong community ties as well. And I think that obviously it's kind of hard to say, well, I have, you know, James lined up to be my backup shooter for your wedding day. But the thing is we don't really know until that situation arises, right? So making sure that your videographer that you're interviewing has a good connection in the community and has a good reputation, I think, in the community is also important. So they may not have like a specific person lined up, but knowing what their answer is and how they would find somebody, you know, how they would communicate that with you, I think that that's a really valid answer to look into.
Well, if you use the example of when you went into labor the day before we had a wedding, or the night before, so not even,
like at midnight.
Yeah, so we were, 12 hours away from actually going to the wedding, and that was a bit of a scramble. It's not like we had specifically somebody in mind, but to be able to lean on the community, to lean on the other professionals to be able to be there for you. And what we did is sell the contract. They still shot it for our company, but we ended up just giving them all the money that we would have made from this wedding. You have to be ready to take that step if you're going to hire somebody out. You're not going to be able to find somebody that's going to shoot it for $100 an hour and not make any of the profits, especially if you're asking such a big thing like taking over the full day.
Last minute.
Yeah, at the last minute. So I would say it's good to have the backup people, but also think about the logistics around how much are they going to make and all of that stuff, because that could play a part. What if their expectations is that they would charge you their normal rate, but you charge less than them? It's better to have that conversation ahead of time.
I think what's also important is that they consider as well what kind of prep work they've done with the videographer. I think in that case where I did go into labor, you know, the night before a wedding, what happened was, we had, you know, questionnaires, we had a timeline that's very detailed. We had like all of the sort of must-have moments that we were going to capture were already like listed out with a detailed timeline. Plus it had like all of the contact information for everybody, everybody's names. Like we have like a whole system in place. So I think that that is just another side point, is to make sure not only who's going to be their backup in the event of them needing a backup, what is the process to make that, you know, a smooth transition where it's not just like them showing up and having no idea what to, what's important and what's not, right?
Yeah, just details like people's names.
Yeah.
Or the locations you have to visit. What are the events happening during the day?
Yeah.
What buffer times have you built in to help mitigate some of those risks? All of that is really important to have. And yeah, we it's true. I didn't mean to allude to the fact that you can't be prepared for that, but we do create like a nice PDF of all that we review with our team before wedding. So it's nice to be able to just hand that off to somebody and they have at least a starting point to go from.
The next question that I think couples should be asking potential videographers is what their equipment setup looks like. I feel like that's a question that we do get sometimes where they're very much worried that it's going to be like a lot of cameras. That's important to ask, right? Because I know we've worked really hard to sort of diminish our footprint, but we do sort of have, when it comes to video, you know, there are tripods, especially if you're capturing speeches or ceremony, we want to have multiple angles, right? The other thing is as well as lighting, right? Depending on the time of year, there's no natural light, so we have to bring in artificial light. And we do that because we don't want the videos to be grainy. It's really to make sure that we're capturing the content in the best quality, if that makes sense too, right? People need to understand that there are multiple angles happening simultaneously at certain parts of the day, right? So in our case, we have, you know, multiple angles on a ceremony to capture reactions and things like that. But if you're a videographer that perhaps you're looking at hiring and you ask them like, how many angles will you be getting? Maybe they only have one angle. I feel like that really does make a difference in sort of the final product.
Yeah, and I think the best example that I would refer people to go see some of our ceremonies and speeches to really drive it home that there are multiple angles that we cut to in the final edit, and those exist obviously somewhere.
But I think if somebody is reaching out to a videographer, they should be asking, right? Do you have more than one angle, or are you just getting a one angle the whole day, right? Because also things to consider is like, stuff that happens is batteries have to change or SD cards need to change at certain points. So that means you're not recording at that certain point as well, right? So the nice thing is if there are multiple angles, you are hopefully not missing anything from that perspective.
Well, a good videographer would make sure that those things are changed before the event happens.
But, you know, sometimes it's just like, again, right? If there's only one angle, there's only one person, like they can only be in so many places at once, right? And I think that's what this question is getting to, is making sure that they understand, like, even for your, in our case, it's like there's setup time, right? Like you can't be capturing certain parts of the wedding if you're trying to get ready for another part that's coming.
And that's the challenge with the video, is that there are some parts of the day where you have to set up things, either audio, tripods, lights, whatever it is. So you have to really be honest with your couple about the time it takes to do that. If you're shooting by yourself, obviously, if you have multiple shooters and some help, some assistance on the day, then they can take care of that setup time and you could be with the couple as much as you can, or vice versa. You would leave somebody with the couple and then you would go and do most of the setup. But either way, I think you need to lay out that expectation, because it's really tough to be able to manage that if you're like, yes, I can cover everything, and then you're scrambling and you're the reason why things are running late. Even maybe they don't even care that you're running late and they just start things right away. And I've had that happen too.
Yeah, like they're going to miss a speech, or they're going to miss walking down the aisle. You don't get a chance to go and turn on a tripod, right? Like things like that, that all needs to be confirmed ahead of time. And that's kind of why I'm team have more than one videographer. I know that you do a very good job of you on your own, but I think it also makes a difference when you have somebody like me there with you, because I can also manage and make sure that nothing is happening without you. The disadvantage would be is if they hired a different photographer who really doesn't care if you're ready to go or not, yeah. Or they just don't know, right? Like they don't understand that, yeah, you have to go and press record on, you know, the thing to record the audio. You have to go press record on the tripods. They don't really care about stepping in front of those things, whereas like I do, right? So that's the difference between working with somebody who has a team and people who don't. Another question that I think is important is asking who's going to be the one that's going to actually show up and film on your wedding day. I know that that's a question that we get asked a lot is, will it actually be us? And I think that that's important.
I think that applies a lot to people that have teams or can take on multiple weddings on the day. That should be probably your first question is, do you have a team? How many weddings can you take on a day? Is it only you shooting it? Also, is it you editing it? Because that could be a big factor as well as to the quality or the expectation that you'll have of the video. Figuring out who it is that's going to be shooting it. A lot of people fall in love with people and not so much the video. It's like, oh, I met with this videographer and I really loved the way he answered my questions and the vibe that he gave. And then especially if you get blindsided and on the day of, there's somebody else that just shows up and you weren't given a notice, then I think that could really cause some problems.
A big trend as well that we've been seeing lately is the use of drones. I feel like that's probably the number one question that we get asked is if we'll fly a drone on their wedding day. And I do see that not going away, right? Like I feel like drones, if anything, are going to get used more and more. But I do feel like it's a valid question to ask if they use drones, because we didn't always use drones. It wasn't something that we offered when we first started.
You really have to take a look at their package to see if it's included. If not, I wouldn't assume that drone is included. Some videographers have it as an additional cost to use the drone, but it's definitely worthwhile pointing it out, especially if you're doing a wedding on a private property or some kind of farm or somewhere that's really nature-esque.
Yeah.
That you think it would be a great addition. Just ask the question, and you can always ask when they think they'll have time to do it, because that makes a big difference as well. If they come early and shoot it beforehand, I think that's kind of the best way to do it, because if you think you're gonna have time to fly it and you're a solo shooter, sometimes things run late and it's out of your control and you don't find the time. So I always try to get there a bit early and shoot it before the wedding begins, because then at least you have something, and something is better than nothing.
Yeah, I feel like that's something, I know it sounds silly, but it's, we don't even charge for that, in the sense of like, we do go early, you do fly the drone earlier in the day, like it's not usually part of like the time that we sort of allot for our couples, because we want to make sure that we get it. But maybe that's a question that you should have. When will you fly it and how long do you need, right? Because I mean, it could take you what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like it really just depends. And then there's also the idea of, like, for us, we have restrictions around our drone, too. Like, we can't fly it in certain areas. You also are licensed to fly the drone, so I think that's important, too. These are some questions that I would be asking. And then also, how much drone footage they're going to get. Like, how many minutes is it going to take for you to do it, right?
I don't think I've ever been asked, how many minutes of drone footage are you going to give me? As a videographer, know how much you'll need in order to edit the videos properly. I usually give myself 30 minutes of get there, take it out, put it all together, connect everything, go up, 15 minutes of flying, and then bring it back down. And depending how much detail there is, maybe the ceremony site is different than the reception site. Putting it up at like a church, for example, that's always a good one. But when you're arriving at a church and leaving a church, typically, there's a lot of assembling and disassembling gear, so it's very hard to find time.
The dreaded question, who chooses the music when it comes to our, like, the wedding video? I feel like that's a question we do get asked a lot, or maybe not a lot, but they do ask it sometimes. And obviously for us, we have like a very curated answer because we've done this, you know, so many times. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that question in particular.
I think if you want to give input on the songs, definitely way better to do it at the beginning stages of making a video. If ever you give a carte blanche to a videographer and you tell them, surprise me, and they choose something, and in the end, you just don't vibe with it. It definitely happens sometimes that it just didn't fit what the couple intended or wanted to have in their video, and then they've requested the song be switched for another one. But that's something that you really need to figure out what your videographer is going to do about it. Sometimes people are like, well, this is your video.
Take it or leave it.
Or some of them give you a certain amount of revisions on the video. So be careful on that part of it. Ask how many revisions you can have, what kind of input you can have on the final product, but we send a questionnaire at the end of a wedding a few days later saying, what are the songs that you used for your ceremony, either walking down, walking out, signing papers, all of that stuff, which is good to have. And then we ask to give us options of 5 faster songs and 5 slower songs. I typically only use 2, 3, 4 songs in a highlight video, so it gives me a lot of variety that I can choose from, and they have a bit of input. Editing certain weddings to certain songs, you know, if somebody's like, I want those 2 songs specifically, it's very hard to get into it, because if I don't feel like I connect with those songs, it's not going to be as fun for me to edit it, and I just feel like it's not going to be my best work. Picking a song can take the longest out of the whole process of editing, is finding songs that just mesh well together and have this kind of tempo swing to it, because I like fast songs and I like some slow romantic ones during, and then like a feel-good song to end on. And if those qualities aren't met, it's really hard to be able to create a story that I like for the clients that I want.
Would you say that most of our clients give you that carte blanche, or do you feel like it's chosen? Like, I know we've had specifics, like they want like an Ed Sheeran song or something like that, for instance. And in those cases, we're just very honest in saying, like, if you do that, we might not be able to post it like on YouTube or on, you know, social media, because it might get blocked or whatever. When that happens, like, we're very upfront with them and saying, like, you can do that, but it might get like muted, right? That's the issue. What do you think on that?
That's kind of a 2-pronged question. So one, you can request popular songs, but like you said, it can't go onto social media. So I don't really like doing that for 2 reasons. One, because I like posting a lot of my work to make sure that, you know, they love it and they can share it, and then it is a good reflection on other couples, as good marketing in that way. Or if it's a venue I've never shot or whatever it is, it's just nice to be able to publicize that. I've definitely taken those requests before, like you said, Ed Sheeran or some kind of popular song, and made it for them because that song was just really important to them. And you just kind of send them a link specifically so that they can download it and they can do whatever they want after that. But the request, I would say, is very minimal.
Yeah.
Most of the people just trust me based on my previous work, that they like our style, and they don't really want to tarnish that. I think they just want me to be as creative as I can. But it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes it just takes me forever to find the right song. So I love it if people told me what songs to use to ease the process. But then in the end, I think it makes more sense that I choose it myself based on just the feeling that I get looking at it.
And the feeling like that was the day, right? I think also we have to remember that we're there the entire day and we get a good vibe of the clients and the mm-hmm. and the people and the family and even the music that they choose, right? Like if they're big country people and they're wearing like cowboy boots and cowboy hats and stuff, like you're not going to choose a techno song, right? Like it just doesn't flow with the feel of the day, right? So those are some of the things that I think are important too. An important question to ask a wedding videographer is their turnaround time. I feel like that is something that people don't understand how important it is until they've had their wedding and all of that excitement has built, and then all of a sudden they have to wait 6 months for their final product. Like 6 months goes by, they could have bought a house, gotten pregnant, be like moving on to the next stage of their life, right? Gone to like 5 other friends' weddings. So to me, I feel like that's an important question to ask, because it might not seem like a big deal to wait 6 months or more for a wedding video, but I know that the excitement dies down. What do you think? Do you think that that's a really important question to ask? Like, do you feel like people ask us that a lot, or I think we're very upfront with how fast we are as well.
Yeah, we always aim to have it back within, I think, 4 months is what our contract says. I don't think we've ever, maybe once, needed to extend that because of other circumstances, but on average, we like to get it back within the first month or two. People may discount that as something that's really important based on style and, you know, the type of videographer that they want. But it's nice to at least understand, because some people could say, oh, I say 6 months in my contract, and, you know, but if I finish it sooner, I give it to you. I would probably speak to past couples, get a reality check on how fast they actually get through it, because editing videos can be very cumbersome, can take a very long time, especially if you don't do it full time.
Yeah.
If you have a Monday to Friday job and you shoot it on weekends, finding the time to actually piece it all together can be really, really strenuous on you know, the videographer, especially if they have a really busy season. So yeah, figuring out when you expect to get it back, or like have at least have a teaser video come out the week after. It really builds on that excitement that you're feeling right after your wedding, like that high, you got to keep riding it. And to be honest, that's been one of our best marketing things, is to do a teaser within the first couple of days after their wedding, because people are just the most excited during that time.
Yeah, those are always the most popular videos. I feel like almost sometimes people are more excited about the teaser than they are about the full highlight, because it's just like happened so fast for them, right? They've been able to relive it within that first week. So I think it's really important to ask them. And I think one of the things that we should note as well with ours is you don't just edit everything and then send it all at the same time. Yeah. Like, part of what we do is that you'll edit like the ceremony and send it to them. You'll edit the speeches and then send it to them. You'll edit the final highlight and send it to them. So every videographer is going to have their own way of doing things. And I think it's important to know that. Like, if you have to wait till 6 months minus a day to get every single video, like, I don't know if that wouldn't work for us. I couldn't wait that long. I think I'd be chomping at the bit because I want to relive it. And photos, sadly, don't really do it justice, right? When it comes to like actually hearing what people say and, you know, all of the little moments that maybe we didn't see on a wedding day, right? So I think that the turnaround time is definitely an important question to ask.
And then on that note as well, is if they provide raw footage, again, if it's not part of their package or they don't mention it, you should definitely ask them about the raw. And the raw is everything that they shot all day, just raw, essentially. Yeah. It's just the unedited. What it is, unedited footage. And when will you deliver that as well? I think that's part of it, other than the highlight stuff, because the raw, technically, if they upload everything, you know, within that first week, you could have access to it. So ask them if it's something that is possible, because then you would at least be able to review some of the day before the final edited videos come out.
Last but not least, how will they get all of this footage? I mean, we've ran into this problem so many times where it's just so difficult because, you know, we're shooting in 4K footage. Sometimes it's like almost a terabyte, right? Terabyte of room. And not a lot of people have that. I think the recommendation that we have is that we do include a hard drive for that reason in some of our packages, not all of them. But couples need to understand how they're going to get access to them. I think for us, we try to tell them, you know, that they should have a hard drive and maybe a Google Drive, or they keep it separated and save it, right? Because we're not going to hold on to this forever, their content forever. But what do you have any more thoughts when it comes to delivery and your experience with that?
It's really hard, like you said, to transfer over a terabyte worth of footage. I mean, most of the ones we shoot, yeah, it's 500 gigs to a terabyte. Even if you send them a link to download, how much can they download at once? Are people that computer savvy to know how much space is left on their computer? We've run into a lot of problems with people downloading it and going, oh, I can't download it. And really, it's because the space on their computer isn't there anymore. Or they download it and they don't know how to open certain file formats. There's so many complicated things with computers. Yeah. That hard drives are definitely the way to go. Even if you don't include it in your package and you're giving them raw, sometimes I just tell them, if you Amazon me a hard drive, I'll put it on there, just to make their life a bit easier. Of course, they'd have to come pick it up or pay for us to ship it to them. But being able to put it on a hard drive is definitely the easiest way to do that. For final videos, it's a little bit easier to send them a link to, you know, a final video of their speeches or ceremony. So we usually send that through Dropbox, a version on YouTube that they can watch with their friends and family and share. So delivering it that way, I know that there's a couple other platforms you can use. If you're looking at the raw footage, hard drive is definitely number one. Using any kind of online storage is very, very difficult, and it's expensive, especially if you're storing a lot. So definitely ask about how that's going to be transferred between you and the videographer before signing, just to make sure that you understand and what you're getting yourself into.
I think overall, yeah, just understanding that it's a lot of content, a lot of footage, and you know how long they're going to hold it for. Like, we don't say longer than 6 months, because we used to have Dropbox Unlimited. It's not unlimited anymore, and sadly that means that we've had to delete stuff. So it's really important for couples to know. If we didn't have to delete it, we wouldn't, but it's just not possible for us anymore. So definitely look into having a hard drive and having a, you know, also for safekeeping purposes, having it saved in multiple spaces, right? Maybe you have two hard drives, one at your place and one at your parents' place in case something happens. The cloud is probably the easiest way and the most safe and secure way. But again, like what if your email gets hacked and then you don't have access to it, right? Like, there's all these kinds of what if, so it's definitely worthwhile to have it in multiple spots, and that's something you should be hearing hopefully from your videographer as well, as how to manage this, because you don't do that every day, right? We do. We hope that this was helpful. We love being able to share lots of tips and tricks with you when it comes to making sure that your wedding day is a success. And we hope that these questions are ones that you will bring to your potential wedding videographers, so that that way you get all of these answered in a way that hopefully makes you feel comfortable. Because at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, is making sure that you feel comfortable, that you have all the answers you were looking for, so that this way you can feel great about hiring the person that you're meeting. Because not everybody hires a wedding videographer every day, right?
Yeah, and these are only some of the things. These are more on the technical side, on the actual delivery of the products and like how many angles you use, but there could be other questions like, how do you mesh with certain photographers? Have you shot at this specific venue? Like, how much time do you need to do certain setups? There's so many questions that you can ask if you're really getting into it, but I think most of the time you should just let the videographer tell you what they're gonna do. I think the education piece is something that we are big believers in, making sure that the clients understand where we're coming from, the benefits of having or doing things a certain way. Ultimately, it's about giving you the best experience without having anything behind closed doors, without surprising you with something that could impact the overall experience of the wedding day.